Morning from the Neil Prendeville Show. This is Mick Mulcahy. We had a lady caller and contributor to the programme yesterday called Audrey, who was talking about our slow but inexorable slide towards being a cashless society. And that resonated as far away as Denmark. Denmark, Dave joins me on the WhatsApp. Good morning, Dave.
Morning, Mick. How are things?
I'm good. What are the temperatures like in Denmark?
Right now, because I'm actually standing in the kitchen, believe it or not. I was doing some office work today. It's not too bad now. It's only 22 degrees right now, but on Saturday it's going to go dramatically up. We've got 35 degrees here on Saturday.
Yeah, the heat dome is moving north and west across to us as well.
Cashless
society. Are you in favor or are you worried?
I'm not in favor of it. I'm not in favor. Look, the way I look at it is, right, I'm not against cashless. I'm not against cash, right? I think the way we have to look at this is that if you take cash away, you're taking away a choice. Why can't you just say, hey, look, rather than you've got two teams, right? You've got the, hey, we hate cash, and then on the other side, we love cash. And they're all kind of pointing at one another. Why don't you just stick together, come together and say, look, we're losing a choice here. By taking away cash, it removes a lot of possibilities, right? Mm-hmm. We over here, when I came to Denmark first, I remember I was talking to my father on the phone. I can't remember the year. It might have been 1999, 2000, around that kind of a way. It was around there. And my dad was telling me he was watching the Late Late Show. And at the time, there was some kind of IT guy on. And he was actually talking about Denmark. And he said, at that point in time there, Denmark was about 30 years ahead of Ireland when it came to IT at that point, or like the whole digital kind of direction. And what I've seen over here, especially within the last kind of 10 years, right, mm-hmm. is that it's becoming more and more and more and more like this, right? And we've seen here in recent years, for example, you like my bank, right? I've got my private account. I've got my business account down there. There is no cash at all. You cannot use cash. You cannot withdraw cash. There is no cash.
So it already exists, a bank where you cannot access cash.
There's no. My daughter came over here. She came over from Ireland in that was 2022, right? She came over here and she was late for the airport in Dublin, and she didn't get to change. She wanted to change some euros to some Danish kroner. She didn't get it to do it. So when she got here, I said, not a bother, we'll go down to the bank and see. And I mean, my own like kind of advisor down there, he's, Dave, there's nothing we can do. We can't take the cash. We don't take any cash at all. So she actually went back to Ireland with her euros. She couldn't change them here. Now, don't get me wrong. Of course, you can get, you know, if you were in Copenhagen, maybe go to, of course, you'll find Bureau de Change type places. But in general, it's becoming more and more like that here. And it's like a lot of people, it was in the news here, people trying to start businesses, right? You can't run a business here on cash.
You know something you could here before COVID. I don't think you can now.
Yeah.
You know, there are certain businesses that are cash only, certain takeaways. Things like that still retain. But eventually the business dwindles. People are not going to go to the trouble of going to an ATM to draw out cash because your business chooses to run your takeaway cash only. And eventually they succumb to getting the card. Yeah, can I look at the very stark picture here? The conspiracy theorists would say, this is all a plan by the elite oligarchs of the world, the tech bros, shall we call them, without naming them. Number one, to bring in a full digital identity. That's already being pushed in the UK. Number two, to bring in a fully digital money society where money can be tracked, money can be stopped, everything can be recorded, including your movements, etc., etc. And eventually, and this is conspiracy theory, eventually to create a substrata of the human race which sits below the oligarchs who control everything. Now, that's very stark and that's very conspiracy theory. But there are certain areas in the world where warnings about this are already coming out.
Well, what you described first is actually the way it is here in a lot of respects, in an awful lot of respects. And what you find here, if you want to have a business account here, what we've seen with the banks here, the fact that they're going less and less cash, as I said, you can't run a business on just cash, right? So you're dependent on the bank to give you a business account, right? Now, like, depending on what's, I've a limited company, which means I have to have a business account. And you see a lot of people that go apply for a business account. Hey, I've got this great idea. I'm a carpenter. I want to start working for myself or whatever. They go and they have to apply for this business account, right? And what's happening is here, it was nationwide here, was that people were being refused a business account without any reason. As I always said, if you go and do your driving test and you fail your test, you're told exactly what you did wrong. Imagine doing your driving test. You fail your driving test, but they don't tell you what it is. You could do your driving test the next time, yeah, and no, it'll be the same thing. You do the same thing.
Yeah,
no, there's no reason given, right?
No reason given. So basically, can we take the sorry situation of a homeless person in Denmark versus a homeless person here in Ireland? At least in Ireland, a homeless person, if they didn't have a bank account, and I imagine many of them don't, if they're really down, down and out. In Denmark, are you telling me that a homeless person has to have a bank account to get support from the state?
Yeah, because there's no cash at all. So basically you have to have a bank account. And this was actually in the media last year, because it called for political intervention, because the banks have so much power. I know a lot of accountants here on the island, and I have my own accountant I've had for 21 years now. On mainland, and they've checked it as well. They've said the same thing. The banks have gotten too much power.
But hang on, you can't have a bank account. You can't have a bank account without an address. How does a homeless person get an address to put on their bank account?
So this is what has happened. This is my point about the banks being too powerful. So what happened was, it turned out it came up in the media that there were homeless people. You've homeless people here as well, right? And what happened was, they had no access to any funds. They were entitled to it, but you need a bank account, because you cannot go to the post office or like you can at home and get your social welfare paid out in cash. You cannot do that here. You have to have your bank account. Now, by law here, everyone has the right to have what's called a NIM account, right? And that's basically, it's an account where your wages are, any money can come in from the state or whatever that's owed to you. And because they don't have an address, the banks went in and they started really going, okay, well, look, if you don't have address, then we're not going to give you an account. Simple as that. Even though you have, and they just said, no, we don't care. That's it. And you had, I mean, a lot of homeless people. One thing is, their situation is really bad because they're homeless. That can be for many reasons. We see it in Cork as well, all over Ireland as well. Look at the state of Ireland. I mean, it's bad here as well, don't get me wrong. But now you're cutting all funds off them as well, because the banks will not yield. They just say no, and that's it. Mm. And there's no cash.
I imagine a cashless society, Dave, will be manna from heaven for the taxman, because there won't be any more tax evasion. You won't be able to diddle the taxman out of a penny, and that's maybe why there's a strong government support about it. People are saying, Mick, this will ruin the birthday card industry. People are sending money and not putting it in cards. It'll ruin the communion and confirmation. Can you imagine having to give your relations a QR code to lodge to your Revolut account or something?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, you hear a lot again that, you know, people say, well, look, I've nothing to hide, you know, I work away and this and that. Yeah, that's grand, but you know, we see it here that you get categorized. It's all fine. You need to get a newer car, or you need to buy a house or whatever. That's when the crunch comes, because then they're categorizing, are you a type A, B, C, or D type? And they look at you've an electronic trail. They can say, oh, look, here's Dave. He's been down at the pub 3 times this week. He's been down at the pizzeria.
Well, I would imagine the banks are doing that already, Dave. And I heard a publican once saying to young guys who are coming in, tapping away for pints, he said, lads, you're doing yourselves a disservice. Have a separate card, like a Revolut for that. Keep it away from the bank you might need a mortgage from, because they will be looking at that. At least if you send it to Revolut and spend it there, then you can in some way try to justify your spending.
Yeah, what I did to some of the younger guys here, I know here, some of the younger tradesmen, I said, you know, guys, what you should do is, when you get paid, take a certain amount of money out, cash, use it, And, you know, for whatever the fun things, if you want to go to the pizzeria, if you want to go to the pub, if you want to whatever, use your money for that. They cannot see what you're using your money for there. Because if you use it for going to the pizzeria or you're using it, you're going up to the petrol station, buying your sandwiches or whatever, they're red flags the whole way for the bank. And I've seen people who've come back here as a Mason I know here. His son came back with his daughter-in-law. They took a year out to go around the world and they used a card. They decided they didn't want cash in them. And what happened was, is that they simply were refused a loan to buy a house. And houses aren't expensive here on Bornholm, all depending what type you want, you know?
Are or aren't expensive?
No, like depending on, you know, if you want to buy one down by the water. I mean, my house here, right? When I bought this, it was 30 grand. I mean, it's paid off years ago. And, you know, it's like there were houses like that. You'll still get houses here on Bornholm for about, you know, maybe, yeah, there was one up the road here recently. Now there's a lot of work done. That was for 20 grand, you know.
Amazing.
So,
I just want to finish. I know you've...
Well for 10 million.
You've caused, Dave, sorry for cutting across you. You've a cause that's close to your heart that you want to mention. And I want to get to that. I just want to give the final word on this to Trevor, who texted in. 40% of the world uses cards. From that, the bank makes 4 billion profit per day. If we went completely cashless, the banks would make 10 to 20 billion per day. If card wasn't used, they wouldn't make that obscene profit. And you can be sure that if we went cashless, the banks would charge us extra, making 20 billion a day. In Canada, 3 years ago, and here's a very, very sinister case, if it's true. I read it out for what it is. In Canada, 3 years ago, the truckers went on strike and their cards were frozen until they signed a form swearing they would not strike again or else they starved. Now, a charity event all the way from Denmark to Cork. By the way, the power of radio, I just got a text from Denmark. In 5 minutes' time, a guy called Jay Van Tongren is getting married in Denmark in a lighthouse. And his father, chilling out before the wedding, was listening to Red FM and listening to the programme and texted in, Adrianus Van Tongren, thanks for that. Isn't that amazing? You bring somebody on from Denmark and you get a text from Denmark. Tell me about the bike show for the Kira Kennefic fundraiser.
Yeah, listen, we've got a really good cause here. It's really important for all of us here. A very brave young woman, Cathy Kennefic. It's a Cathy Kennefic. Cathy has leukemia and she just went to Dublin yesterday to start. She's gone into isolation now. She's got a very, very hard road ahead of her. She's only 18, just turned 18 recently. And we're trying to run a race funds. We're doing a fundraiser for her here in Macroom this coming Saturday. It's a custom bike show, the Ducks custom bike show. And it's in Chapel Hill School of Art in Macroom. The gates are opening at 12 o'clock and the show is finished at 6 p.m. It's a day show. It's €10 for adults and children go free. We've got two bands playing, the Trails Humbre and Kevin Moore.
Tell you what, Dave, I've got the full details here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to commit to you. I'm going to publicise this each day between now and Friday as well, okay? And I've got all the details.
Thanks so much.
By the way, this speaking of small world, isn't this the family that dropped yourself and Neil Prendeville home after you ate your Lennox's chips?
Yeah. You know what? On the famous Saturday night where myself and Neil, we went to Lennox's with Red FM and Neil. After Lennox's, we went into Rosie Madigan's and we had a pint and we ate our food from Lennox's. And Neil and his wife couldn't get a taxi that night. There was actually quite a bit of a storm that night. And while we were sitting there eating our food in Rosie Madigan's, this family, actually Caroline, she's actually Swedish. Caroline is the mother. And Mark.
And they dropped you home.
It's their daughter, Cathy, now, who's they actually offered to drive them home. So they drove them home that night. So Neil and his wife got home to
That's brilliant. That's one more from the small world category. All right, got to go, Dave. I'll push that for you each day this week in thanks to that family and a great cause.
Very quick, Mick. Very quick.
Very quick, please.
Please. On the Saturday of September, the 5th of September, then there's a walk to the top of Caron Tool as well. 5th of September, meet up in Cronin's Yard at 7:30 a.m. for anyone as well who wants to take part in that. And that's all a right, fundraiser Dave. As well for if you can't make it.
All right. Thanks, Abel. We'll talk again soon.
New England summers don't exactly ease you in. 1 minute, the windows are open. The next, your apartment feels unbearable. Well, meet Windmill Air. Windmill window ACs are sleek. They're quiet and cool your space fast without the bulky eyesore. Rated the number one easiest AC to install, Windmill lets you adjust temperatures right from your phone and, unlike traditional units, cools your room more evenly like central air. Shop Windmill online at windmillair.com or pick up an AC at your nearest Target or Home Depot. Windmill, modern air care your room deserves.